So this is the very first Martin Meets, giving real people the voice to talk about real life experiences. And this enables participants to share real life stories, to talk about issues of public interest, and to share things that they think would be of interest to other people, to promote their work with individuals, group and community organisations. So today for this first Martin Meets, I'm down in Warwickshire at the University of Warwick talking to Phil Goss, who was actually my formerly my research supervisor, who helped me through my MSc dissertation, which I'm very grateful for. So I'll say hello to Phil.
Hi, Martin.
Hi, good to be here today. Yeah. Thanks for agreeing to take part in Martin Meets. Perhaps if we could just start, if you just say a little bit about yourself and talk about your current work role.
Sure, yeah, that'd be happiness. It's a pleasure to do this. Thanks for asking me. I'm currently employed at the University of Warwick as the Director of Counselling and Psychotherapy Programmes. I started in September and it's all been a bit of a whirl, but I'm just gradually getting my head round it.
Settling in.
That's right, settling in. As you've rightly said, I was previously at Ute Clan in Preston for about 10 years. I enjoyed supervising you for your MSc research into visual impairment and counsellor training, which I think is a really valuable piece of work. Mm-hmm. And alongside the master's supervision, I did some PhD supervision and teaching on the undergrad programme, counselling and psychotherapy. And currently, here at Warwick, we have, like UPLAN, we have a professional training, although it's pitched at an undergraduate level, which is different. So people do a foundation degree in counselling and psychotherapy. It's very person-centred in its orientation at the moment, although I may have some influence on how that develops over time. It's a very good programme. It's particularly good in that it provides access to anybody, really. So because it's foundation year entry, we've got a lot of mature students who've got various sort of work experience in all kinds of arenas, so people, say, teaching assistants in Coventry or people working in business in Birmingham, whatever it happens to be, as well as people who maybe spend a lot of time bringing up children and based at home, for whom they haven't got a degree, but this is an opportunity to not only get a foundation degree, which they could then turn into a BA, but to be able to qualify as a registered counsellor and psychotherapist with the British Association for Counselling and Psychotherapy. So it's a good setup, and I'm just getting to know it a bit better.
Absolutely, it sounds like students from very sort of diverse backgrounds have the chance to have to come and learn and do their counselling training. Just going back to what you said there about supervising me for my MSc dissertation. Briefly, it would be just interesting to say, what do you feel you sort of learned from that? Obviously, the topic area that you did, and actually maybe the time that you spent with me discussing my kind of additional needs that I had from maybe above other students from doing the dissertation. So they're kind of like sort of things that you took out of doing that found useful in.
Absolutely. I mean, for me it was a privilege to have the chance to work with you, because it gave me a proper insight into the experience of somebody who has a significant visual impairment, a significant disability, and their experience of navigating their way through counselling and psychotherapy training, and the ways in which we as institutions and as trainers, including myself, can fall into traps of not really noticing what is appropriate and important for people with disabilities to have available to them in order to make sure that they get proper access to a full training experience. They're not left with feelings of exclusion, mm-hmm. feelings of awkwardness in the group, mm-hmm. Feelings of, well, somehow I'm different, therefore I can't expect to have as good an experience as everybody else. All of the stuff that comes up around that really came to the fore for me in supervising your research, and I think there's a lot that the profession can learn from this.
Yeah.
And I think particularly in terms of how trainings are set up and how these issues are monitored as training progresses.
Yeah, thanks for that. I think, I mean, what I appreciated of is, you know, I mean, the additional time which I required and really just kind of, you know, giving me my my space to kind of develop my kind of project in the way that I kind of, mm. that I wanted to do it. So that's what I sort of really appreciated. Mm. So in terms of like work, and if you wanted to say, is how did you get into the sort of counselling, mm. psychotherapy, mm. Profession? What sort of mm. what brought you into that initially? Mm. If you can recall.
Yeah, sure. Well, sort of professionally, after I got my degree and was making career choices, I ended up going into teaching. In schools, and I ended up working in special schools and had a lot of experience of working with people with learning difficulties, mainly initially sort of severe learning difficulties and associated physical and neurological impairments and so on. So in that respect, the area around disability and learning difficulties has always been an interest of mine. But what happened for me while I was doing that work was an awareness of the emotional dimension of the work we were doing, and in particular how much pressure the families were under who were perhaps looking after a child who needed a huge amount of care, and all the tensions that could create within a family, as well as what the experience of that was like for the child themselves or the young person. And so in a way I became more interested in the emotional side of what was going on than I did in the sort of teaching and learning, although that was still an interest. Mm. And that kind of made me aware that maybe I needed to look at retraining. So I started looking at counselling courses and was drawn to the humanistic approach, and did a training in London which was a mix of Rogers, existential thinking, and one or two other influences which enabled me to do some bits of counselling around the edge of my teaching, and gradually become more involved in that side of things, and also to bring some of my insights from doing the counselling course and experience into the learning environment, which I think was helpful as well. And then a bit later on, I became interested in other approaches, and in particular. You know, as you know, I'm a trained Jungian analyst as well. So I did a lengthy Jungian training in London, which was lengthy and hard work and expensive. And everything else.
How many years was it, Phil?
It took me almost 5 years to do that one.
Oh.
And I had at one point I was having to have therapy or analysis 3 times a week, and I had two training patients or clients a week, and supervision. It was really full on, and working at the same time. So it was a bit of a heavy load, but worth it, because I think that's given me a kind of another side, another depth to working with, for example, working with dreams or working with imaginal stuff through creative expressive approaches, and having another level of understanding about what in Rogerian terms would be seen as out of awareness stuff, but in Jungian terms, you know, we're talking about the unconscious, but I think it's the same thing. It's just having a capacity to work with material that crops up in people's minds unexpectedly and is worth going into to help the growth and development of the client.
And I know that you've
pause recording.